This message entitled, Whose Report Will You Believe? Was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on October 21st, 2018 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr. The scripture reference is Genesis 37, 1-3.
And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors.
Okay, thank you. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I don't know how I got that written on my sheet as different, but it's all part of the same story, so praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the truth that is before us here today. There's many different places, several different places, Lord, where we will discover your touch upon a particular word in the scriptures. As we've been seeing for months now, many words that begin with R-E, giving us the connotation of starting over, of redoing, of restoring, and all the different words that do start with R-E. They bring us into that understanding. So we want to thank you, Lord, for that, and especially for the one here today. Hallelujah. Whose report will we believe? Whose report will we believe? Praise the name of Jesus. So touch this time, dear God. Be upon our hearing, our understanding, and also be upon our obedience as we leave this place and live for you, dear God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Whose report will you believe? It was early winter, and some of the Christmas decorations were out of storage already. 4-year-old Jared Miller, true story, by the way, 4-year-old Jared Miller, you can tell it's a true story because his name isn't Johnny. 4-year-old Jared Miller of Toledo, Ohio, sat at the dining room table with his 3-year-old sister, and everyone else was still in bed. The little boy was explaining the meaning of the manger scene to his little sister. He said, "That's the baby Jesus, and his mommy and daddy, and all those other people are his aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas." At least that's what little Jared's report was to his sister. And in a sense, he's really accurate, because are we not talking about the family of God? Amen? I mean, you've got shepherds and you've got wise men and you've got, you know, other people that just may have been around. We're talking the family of God. We're talking about people that want to be near Jesus, even in his first of hours. Amen? Another true story. James Hannington. James Hannington grew up peaceably enough near Brighton, England, working in his father's counting house. But then he entered the ministry, and soon the Church Missionary Society was on his horizon. His first trip to Africa was interrupted by sickness, but he made a second attempt and arrived on the continent of Africa on July 23rd, 1884. So we're talking a number of years ago. He started inland towards Uganda, and without knowing it, actually ended up taking the most dangerous pathway. He was soon seized by warriors of the lawless Mwanga tribe. In his small diary, his journal, it was crammed with tiny handwriting, and it is among the most moving missionary documents on record They evidently have it probably in a museum, I'm guessing, at this point. And that would be his report. Those entries would be his report on what was happening. And I'm going to share a few of those with you right now. October 21st, 1885. These are his exact words. I'm certainly not making this up, but I'm also not paraphrasing. About 20 ruffians set upon us. They violently threw me to the ground. Twice I nearly broke away from them, then grew faint from struggling and was dragged by the legs over the ground. My clothes torn to pieces, wet through, strained in every limb, expecting death. Next day, October 22nd, 1885. In a fair-sized hut with no ventilation, floor covered with rotting banana peels. Now there you go, Lily. You want to get some bananas? They had them there. The whole floor was just covered with these rotting banana peels and leaves and lice, you name it. Fearfully shaken, scarce power to hold a small Bible. Shall I live through it? My God, I am thine. God, shall I live through this? I am thine. October 27th, a few days later, I am very low. It looks so dark. I don't know what to think. And I would say in my heart, let the Lord do what seemeth good to him. October 28th, 1885, the next day. A terrible night, first with my drunken guard, and secondly with insects, which have found my tent and they swarm. I don't think I got 1 hour sleep last night. I awoke with a fever fast developing. Oh Lord, do you have mercy on me and release me? Do have that, Lord. Have mercy. He's getting a fever, as you can tell from his last statement. Oh Lord, release me. I am quite broken down. I am brought low. But I am comforted by reading Psalm 27. The report continued. October 29th. October 29th. I was held up by Psalm 30, which came with a great power. A hyena howled near me last night, smelling a sick man. But I hope it is not to have me. What's today's date? 21st. He went into this situation on October 21st. I had it written down on another piece of paper, but I believe it's like 133 years ago. Today, it just brings home how things are going on. I mean, yeah, this was 100 and some odd years ago, but these things, they continue. They go on. Christians are being persecuted for their faith every day. I have a shirt that I'll sometimes wear. It says, Christians were persecuted. Well, that's enough of a statement for a lot of people to go, yeah, right. Because people think that we're making the whole thing up. Cindy's got a cousin that says, we're making the whole thing up. It's not happening. It says on the front, Christians were persecuted. On the back, in great big letters, it says, today. So when I see people starting to read my shirt, I turn around and fool with the rack of clothes or whatever so they can read the back. Today. Not just years ago. Not just during the first years of Christianity. Not just during the Reformation. Christians are persecuted all the time. Psalm 27 helped him through all of this. Also, he mentions about Psalm 30. I hope that hyena is not to have me. It turns out that was his last entry. That was his last entry. That day, they killed him. They killed him. But it was God's report that brought him through from the scriptures. It says in Psalm 30, verses 1 to 3, it says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I want you to notice something. That the report that little Jared gave his little sister on that early winter morning concerning the manger scene, and that witness, that report that is given by this missionary in his little diary, they seem to bear no similarity. One's talking about Christmas, the other one's talking about trying to make it through this horrendous persecution. There seems to be no similarity except for one thing. And I want to suggest to you, I want to tell you clearly, actually, that it's a very crucial thing. They both find their focus on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Whether it's Christmas or whether it's out in the jungle, it's all about Jesus. So the question is, whose report will you believe? Well, in this specific case where we're talking about Jared and his little sister and about James Hannington, in the jungles, they both find their origin in the heart of God. So you can believe them both. You can believe them both. They're both true stories. They're both true witnesses. They are believable. Amen? So whose report will you believe? But there's a whole world out there today against the report of God. Amen? So the question is still very valid in these days. Whose report will you believe? A.W. Tozer once wrote, he said, the widest thing in the universe is not space. The widest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, it is capable of almost unlimited extension in all directions. Kind of reminds you of the mentioning in the scriptures where the tent pegs are moved out to make more room for God's people. You know what that's talking about, don't you? That's talking about both Jew and Gentile. Amen? And then A.W. Tozer goes on to say, and one of the world's worst tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is room in them for little besides ourselves. Of all persons, Christians should have the largest hearts. Amen? Because it's God's heart. Praise God. It's the Bible's report. Praise God. Now, this word report, I think, is a very fascinating one. As you can well guess, this is our word for the day, for the week. This is the word report. Starts with R-E. All these words we've been looking at now for months, they all start with R-E. And carry with them a redoing. Does everybody understand that? They're not always very specifically that, but they can't. But the idea of re-something means to redo it. To restore it. Amen? Carries that connotation. I think it's a pretty fascinating one, as we find it both in the Old and the New Testaments. Through most of the Old Testament, the word report is linked to the concept of evil. And the thing that's being talked about is an evil report. Not that the word report itself is evil. It's not. We'll see that as we get in later into the Old Testament and into the New Testament. We'll see it clearly, okay? But when it's put together with the word evil, then you've got something that's bad news. Amen? And you'll see what I'm talking about. I could turn to several examples, but I'll just take time for a couple of them at the beginning here. The first scenario is found in Genesis chapter 37, which is where we were just at. So if you're there, look at it. It's Genesis 37. If you're not there, look it up. I want you to follow along on these things so you can see them. Praise God. Let's see what it says. It says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. It mentions about Joseph being 17 years of age. He is feeding the flock with his brethren. And skip down a little bit, and it says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Okay? An evil report. In verse 2, you see that. It says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You see, part of the problem is even mentioned here in these verses. It says that Jacob had shown a lot of favoritism towards Joseph. And that really miffed the other brothers. Really. And they hated Joseph for it. When he told on the others, his report is said to be evil. And now, it's not that the report is evil, but because it's about bad things the brothers were doing, it's called an evil report. Does everybody see the difference there? I have to hammer on that a little bit because it's important that we see it. It's not that the word report is bad or that what Joseph is even saying to his dad. Okay? But the fact that these guys were, the brothers were acting up and not being nice and so forth is what's evil about this report. I think it's, we got to be clear on that. It's the brothers who were behaving in an evil way, not Joseph. It is also important to notice, and by the way, the father didn't help anything with his favoritism. You know, that's really where they're, you know, boy, now they're against their own brother. He got this coat of many colors and got all kinds of, special treating and so forth by the father. It's important to notice that it is the content of the report that is evil. Okay? I mean concerning the brothers. The brothers' actions. That is evil, not the report itself. All right. In the Hebrew, the word is debah. Debah. It's putting the two things together, evil and report. Okay? Literally, it refers to a furtive or slanderous motive. The same word in the Old Testament is translated as defaming and infamous. It makes the report just the opposite of what it usually is because it's a bad report. It's an evil report. The report to their father, Jacob, revealed how poorly the brothers were treating Joseph. He would suffer much at their hands. But, and you know what I'm talking about, he gets thrown into the pit, he gets sold into slavery, he goes down, he gets accused of molesting this guy's wife, and he ends up in prison because of it. And then, I mean, for years, and it goes on and on. I think it's like 35 by the time he gets out. And 17 to 35, what is that, about 17 years? Isn't that? That's a long time to go through a lot of garbage. Richard Wurmbrand was what, 14 years? 16 years? But the Lord would use it to place him in a position of being the means of salvation for the entire clan. It would set him up as second in command only under Pharaoh. And because of that, he would be able to feed his own family, which was about 70 people at the time, but was going to grow into thousands of people over the years. And ultimately was going to do what? Going to bring Jesus. Amen? That's why they say that Joseph is a picture of Christ. A type. They'll use the word type of Christ. All right. We see a very similar thing in the book of Numbers. I want you to turn there. Okay? This is Numbers 13, and I hope I don't have any more numbers wrong here. Get it? Numbers. Chapter 13. That's probably where I got the 32 and 33 for the other one, because it is 32 and 33 over here in Numbers. Ah, I see what I did. All right, 32 and 33 will be enough to do this, okay? And they brought up an evil report of the land. Well, what's this talking about? Well, when they were ready to cross into the promised land, or they thought they were, Joshua gathered up 12 people and sent them forth to go spy out the land. 10 came back with an evil report. They said, it's bad. These guys are huge. We don't stand a chance. When it wasn't the case at all. Okay? It was an evil report. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. I mean, they're getting pretty graphic here. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And watch this. Like, they really get graphic here. And there we saw the giants, and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Using the same Hebrew word. Now, God doesn't switch the words on us here. It's the same thing. Remember, it's evil report. God doesn't have to have a different word right now. See, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at these different words as God morphs them. As God changes these words, adds a prefix, adds a suffix, takes something away, or turns it into something else. We've seen this for months with all these words. And we see it again right here. Only he hasn't changed anything yet. Still the same word, evil report. Same Hebrew word. Okay, same Hebrew word. Ten came back with a false report. Two, anybody know, remember who they are? Caleb, right? Joshua came back with the truth. Amen? But 10 others came back and we can't do that. It's too big. It's too bad. It's too, you know, let's not do it. We are not able, look at verse 32. It says, we are not able to go against the people. They are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Now, if anybody were to believe that report, which is pretty much what the people did, the people didn't want to go into the land, it was going to cost them dearly. Because as you'll remember, they then spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness until the second generation was ready to enter the land and fight the God-given battles. These battles were God-given. And if the people didn't want them, they didn't have to have them. But they would wander through the wilderness until every one of their bodies dropped to the ground. The Bible says their carcasses fell to the ground. That first generation had to be wiped out. Why? Because they wouldn't go the way God said to go. So the second generation comes up. All right? See, only then, when that first unbelieving generation is gone, would there be able to be a semblance of faith. A semblance of trust. And once again, it all turns out to be in God's hands. God knows what he is doing. He knew this was going to happen. There are other places in the Old Testament where these two words, evil and report, are inextricably linked. But God moves the word report right along. There are other places, but there are these places similar to this where there's an evil report. Okay? But you go down the road, so to speak, of the Old Testament, and you come to the prophet Isaiah, when the upcoming Christmas experience, if I could be so bold as to call it that, because that's what it is, it's pointing to Jesus and his first advent. Advent means coming. Amen? We're not talking about the second coming of Jesus here. We're talking about the first coming to Bethlehem. Amen? And the report of this would be invaluable. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to Isaiah chapter 7, please. Isaiah chapter 7, and it's verse 14. Oh, you could look at the whole context and everything. It's more of their own time. But this is clearly prophetic and clearly pointing to Jesus. Therefore, it says in verse 14, Isaiah 7, 14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Which in Matthew's gospel, it is explained when the angel tells Joseph this, that his name will be Emmanuel. You know, Joseph doesn't go and run out and print up a bunch of business cards, you know, for Jesus and call him Emmanuel. No, Emmanuel means God with us. Later, we would find a fuller meaning even more. God in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. An indwelling Holy Spirit. We would come to find that out. For now, we're told he could be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Amen? And by the way, the word with can carry with it an inner dwelling, an inner being as well. So it's all right there, actually. So who would this child grow up to be? Well, I think you all know it's Jesus. I mean, of course it's Jesus. He's the ultimate subject of the world's greatest report. Amen? This. Right? The Bible itself. He's the ultimate subject, Old Testament and New, of the world's greatest report. And it's Jesus himself. And it's the Bible. Praise God. A little bit further down the prophetic word, actually quite a few steps down the prophetic word, in the book of Isaiah, we run into this. And I want you to see that too. Would you turn to Isaiah 53? Okay, so it's quite a bit on down the road, right? 53. First few verses. Who hath believed our report? That's the question. Who hath believed our report? Whose report will you believe? When this is quoted in the New Testament, I wasn't really going to take time to share this part, but this verse is actually quoted in the New Testament. And once again, it spans both testaments. Why? Because the ultimate fulfillment of both old and new is Jesus. Amen? So who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. A little later it says he is despised. He is rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You could look at the whole thing and see the same picture. The Hebrew word report is different now. It was evil report before, but there's nothing evil about this Jesus. Okay, so it's a different word. The Hebrew for the word report in this particular case is shamua. Shamua. No, it's not the big whale down at SeaWorld, you know. It's different, right? Shamua, and it literally is referring to something definitely heard, as in an announcement or a pronouncement. The word is also translated as, elsewhere in Scripture, you can find this Hebrew word translated as doctrine, fame, news, and tidings. You don't even have to say good tidings because it's the opposite of evil. It, of course, is good tidings. Amen? Notice now, without the word evil right alongside it, there is no negative connotation. It's all positive. This divine announcement is focused on the coming Messiah, and there is nothing evil about him. Oh, the way people would treat him, you know, rejecting him and despising him and all that, you know, but that's just statement of the case. The fact is, the subject of the report is Jesus, and there's nothing evil there. Amen? Even so, in these days, in our days, it seems like there are not many anymore who truly want to believe his report, to believe this Bible. You see that all through people coming up with their own understanding of creation, people coming up with their own understanding of the cross, and you know, and then say they're all about Jesus. And a lot of people look at that and they go, see, Christian. Yeah, but if it's not the Jesus of the Bible, then it's not truly Christian. Amen? Some churches have Jesus still on the cross, and they're still expecting him to somehow save them through the cross when he already did it. Amen? And as we allow ourselves to get all entangled by the thinking of this world, his true and saving report seems less and less desirable to a lot of people. I hope not to his true church. But to a lot of people, it's like, shove it aside. And do you know why? I think it's something we've said before, and it's just simply this. Because the self-life does not want to die. The self-life does not want to die. And thereby make room for a life lived, now listen carefully, lived according to the very best report ever given. It's a very special and long-awaited pronouncement. Luke chapter 2. Would you turn there, please? Luke chapter 2, one of the most recognizable pronouncements, announcements of what's going on is found in chapter 2 of Luke and the very first verse. That's one of them. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, some versions will say something about being registered. So, well, that's so that they know who you are and where you are so they can get the tax money out of you. You know, it's just always about money, you know. And so that doesn't look like a very good part of the announcement. I'm sure a lot of people were complaining about that. We got to go back to our hometowns all the way down there. I mean, for Mary and Joseph, it would be Bethlehem, you know. We got to go all the way down there. I'm not saying they complained about it. I'm saying a lot of people probably did. We got to go to what? To register for a new tax? You know, who wants to do that? The taxing part may not be a very welcome part of this announcement, but it is that taxing part that set both Mary and Joseph on a path that would allow them to find themselves 90 miles later, possibly a couple of weeks later. We don't know how long it took them to go the 90 miles. But they would find themselves in Bethlehem. Well, quite frankly, it was Micah that said prophetically, that's where it has to happen. Bethlehem. So guess what? God was using the king of the world to accomplish his plan. Just like he did with Pharaoh. Just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar. Just like he does with a lot of people. And even us. Okay? He does things to set things up so that we can see him more clearly. Amen? And that's where it would happen. It would happen in Bethlehem. Look at verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What? They travel all this way. Now, you know, they didn't have smartphones and, you know, reservation lines and all the rest of it, you know, to make sure they'd have a room or whatever. It's a crowded place. It's everybody has to go back to their hometown. And so, you know, they could not find room in the inn. And that would force them out in the cold. Jesus, even on the night he's born, is persecuted. Even on the night he is born, he is persecuted. And you can think of a lot of other times, can't you? What about when Herod really got bugged that the wise men did not come back and tell him where Jesus was? What'd he do? He ordered a bunch of soldiers out to the area of Bethlehem to kill all these infants. A lot of little kids died trying to persecute Jesus. Just think through the whole life and ministry of Jesus. Persecution practically at every turn. And then so we would all know, okay, I mean, it's one thing that, you know, we're told that, yeah, they were in this, they came to the inn and there's no room for them, okay? But so that not only they would know and anybody that reads this would know, but that we would know, every one of us could know that glorious report that was given by the angels out in the field. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It is all about Jesus. The whole thing is Old Testament, New Testament, all these RE words, it's all about Jesus. Praise God. And that's got to be by faith. That can't be because somebody made you. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be by faith. You got to see your need. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11? I won't have you turn there. You know this. You probably know it by heart. Hebrews chapter 11, first two verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. You know, nowadays they say, follow the money. Well, follow the truth, right? Follow the truth. From Old to New Testament, it's all about a good report. I mean, even the evil report would show that somebody was being mistreated, like Joseph. But for a purpose, God allowed it. He was not surprised at it. He didn't all of a sudden look down and see him in a pit or see him in prison. Joseph, I'm talking about, you know, down in Egypt and so forth. And God goes, oh, man, you know. First of all, God is not going to call on men to find out the answers, right? Oh, man, oh, boy, how'd they get in this fix? How am I going to get them out of that? No, you won't ever hear God say that. This was all part of the plan. It was always in God's heart. Now, we've been talking about the various Hebrew words and Greek words. We saw this all the way through the Old and New Testament. The Greek word here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about the elders receiving a good report. Okay? The Greek word here for report, and I mentioned this Friday night, by way of slyly not telling you what it was. It's the word marturio. And do you believe that? Whose report are you going to believe? The Greek word here is marturio. It's the word from which we get the word martyr. Amen? Praise God. It also carries with it the idea of being a witness, bearing record, and giving evidence and testimony of the Christian life. Now listen, being both announced and lived. It's not enough to just be announced. and to be lived in all of our own words and actions. Martyrio. That's the good report. I about fell on the floor when I read that. I guess I just wasn't thinking that it would be anything like that. What an amazing word, martyrio. Martyr. Martyr. Being a witness, bearing record, giving evidence and testimony of the Christian life being both announced and lived in all of our words and in all of our actions. And praise God, he sure does know what he's doing. Amen? I mean, our God knows what he is doing. And I think it's a very good question. Whose report will we believe? Well, it needs to be God's. Amen? We need to believe his good report. It's a report of a life lived for Jesus. More than lived, spoken of for Jesus, but not excluding one or the other. It's both what's spoken and it's what's lived. It's both. Martyrio, that's both. Amen? Glory be to God. Whose report will you believe? Yeah, right? Amen. You know what that means? So be it. So be it. Let it be true in me. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here, Lord. And then especially, dear God, coming down to the end of all of this and finding this martyrio, finding this martyrdom. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not just being killed for Christ, but it is the self-life being killed, being crucified. And then we can live for Jesus far more fully than we ever have before. So I just pray, dear God, that you would touch every one of our hearts with this truth. Hallelujah. Your name is worthy, dear God, to be praised. You are Lord of all. You are our everything. And we want to thank you for all of it, dear God. Praise the name of Jesus. Whose report will we believe? Lord, we will believe your report. We will believe your report. We won't believe just if somebody rambles off the name Jesus, because that may be a Jesus that's not even in the Bible. It's got to be your report. And I want to thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we thank you for the truth here today. We thank you, dear God, that you are the one that gives it. And we are the one, Lord, to receive it and to live by it. But it's not going to be in our own strength anyway, Lord. It's going to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because that birth would lead to that death, would lead to that resurrection, would lead to that ascension, would lead to that sending forth of the Holy Spirit in order to indwell your people and empower your people, not only to speak for you, but to live for you. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.